It's time for Eco Talk with host Betsy Rosenberg.
She'll be great. She's a very smart, capable person who knows exactly what took place and will lay out the facts. And that's what the American people want to see.
I had a dream the other night. Now, in my dream, our national bird had become the ostrich.
Welcome to another edition of Eco Talk. Last Thursday was World Water Day, but of course every day is World Water Day. It is our most vital resource, clean potable water, and it's also what so many around the world do without every day. Peter Glick is president of the Pacific Institute. He will triangulate water scarcity, climate change, and the fate of billions for us. Then we'll tell you why that new car smell may be hazardous to your health. Jeff Gearhart, the Clean Car Campaign Director for the Ecology Center, will join us to talk about what we're actually inhaling. Then we'll discuss green plans. What are they? How are they working? How can they help us? We'll take a perspective from both United States as well as New Zealand, where they've already been implemented. But first up, let's talk about water. Since World Water Day passed, it's something we talk about a lot here on Eco Talk, in terms of privatization, in terms of bottled water, safety, tap water, all that. We're going to take a slightly different perspective and combine it with the context of climate change. And we have one of the experts from around the country, perhaps worldwide, joining us. He is Dr. Peter Glick. He is president of the Pacific Institute out of Oakland, California. He's a scientist working on issues of climate and water. He's a member of the U.S. National Academy of Sciences, as well as a MacArthur Fellow. Welcome to the program.
Thank you very much. Happy to be here.
So we're hearing certainly a lot more about the impacts of climate change, with most of the focus on water issues has been in conjunction with sea level rise. But you have a much broader view than that. What are you most concerned about?
Well, I liked your introduction in the sense that every day is, in a sense, World Water Day. There are a wide variety of global water problems. Probably the worst one is the fact that there are more than a billion people worldwide who still don't have access to clean drinking water, something you and I think, probably pretty much take for granted. But there are problems with water quality. There are problems with conflicts over shared water resources in places where water is very scarce. And, of course, now there's a growing understanding of the risks of global climate change for our water system.
So what is being done that's heading us down the wrong path? What should be done and what should not be done?
Well, the basic problem is that we've still failed to meet basic human needs for billions of people. There are a billion people, as I say, who don't have access to safe drinking water. There are more than 2.5 billion people who don't have access to adequate sanitation services. There are hundreds of millions of water-related diseases, cases of diseases every year. The first thing we really need to do is figure out how to meet basic human needs for water for everyone. It's not rocket science. It's not technology that we don't already have and don't already understand. I think what we have really is a failure of governments and organizations to meet these basic human needs.
You're based in California, which is leading the way on many climate change issues, or appears to be taking that leadership role. Is that the case with water management as well?
Well, certainly in the western U.S. as a whole, we have a whole series of very difficult water-related challenges because the western U.S. is relatively water dry compared to the eastern U.S. and much of the rest of the world. And so for many, many years, we've figured out how to deal with water scarcity and drought and sometimes, unfortunately, floods. But as populations grow and as the climate changes when and where we get our water resources, I think we still have a lot of challenges that we're not adequately addressing. In particular, with climate change, as the Earth warms up, which we're already seeing, I think we're going to see very dramatic changes in snowfall and snowmelt, in when and where we get water, and in the way we manage our water systems.
And as populations grow and as we see droughts continuing in the Brazilian rainforest and Australia and lakes drying up, it seems like there's kind of a convergence, almost a perfect storm happening. Is there sufficient alarm out there among the people who are, well, across worldwide, who is in charge, really? But we talked about the West, you know, California, but, of course, Nigeria has more serious water problems in terms of just access to clean water.
Well, that's a very interesting point. The way we manage water varies enormously from place to place. Some issues are national issues and require national or governmental attention. Some water issues are very local and require local attention. I think in general, overall, we're not dealing with our water challenges the way we need to. We're not adequately aware of the problems. So I think the level of alarm isn't as high as it ought to be given the level of the kinds of problems that we face. I'd like to think that World Water Day is an opportunity to discuss these issues, to raise awareness. But we have to pay attention to these issues every single day.
Now, we have limited time and such a big topic. I don't want to pretend that we're doing anything more than skimming the surface. But if you could give us, you have five recommendations, sort of summarize key points of each of those so we can at least give our listeners something to think about and perhaps work towards.
Sure. I think, first of all, we need to understand where our water resources come from. Every one of us gets water, hopefully, from a tap. It's often very, very high-quality water. But if we know where it comes from as individuals, then we're much more likely to figure out ways to protect it, to make sure that it's properly priced, to protect the ecosystems that also depend on that water. And so understanding the water system and where our water comes from is critical. I think we have to use water efficiently. All too often, much of the things that we do with water, we do wastefully. There's almost nothing that we do with water that we couldn't do with less water. We could grow more food with less water. We could wash our clothes with less water. We could produce energy with less water. And so maximizing water use efficiency is a key issue as well. A third thing I'd say is that as local communities, we have to get involved in decision-making. Lots of decisions are made for us about the way our water is treated or where it comes from or the price. And in my experience, those decisions are made best when they're made with the communities that are involved in the issue and involved in the problem. And so I would encourage very strong community participation in basically addressing all of our water problems.
Were those your top five?
Well, those are three, but I think they're pretty important.
Okay, and we have just a couple minutes if you'd like to hit on the other, touch on the other two. And then I'd like to, if we have a moment, find out a little bit more about what the Pacific Institute's work focuses on.
Sure, I'd be happy to. Another big issue that we're not very good at dealing with is the fact that there's a very difficult connection between politics and water. Water doesn't pay much attention to political boundaries, and the vast majority of the water on the planet crosses political borders. And when it does, there's often conflict over water resources. And so I think we need to get a lot better at figuring out how to make water a source of cooperation and negotiation rather than a source of conflict. And in the United States, we have two neighbors, Canada and Mexico, both of whom are quite concerned with the way we in the United States use our shared water resources. But almost everywhere around the world, water crosses borders in the Middle East, in southern Asia, between India and China and Vietnam and Cambodia. There are many, many international river basins, and I would argue we need to get much better at dealing with water politically in order to make sure that it's not a source of conflict. And finally, I just think we need to better understand how global climate change, which really is a problem, is going to affect our water resources. The hydrologic cycle is the climate cycle, and some of the worst impacts are going to be on water. And if we don't get better at understanding what those impacts are going to be and better at managing them in advance, I think we could be in for some unpleasant surprises.
Well, you've laid out a lot of ambitious tasks ahead. Is this something the Pacific Institute is spearheading, or do you focus on other issues as well as water resources?
Sure. The Pacific Institute, which is in Oakland, we're an independent nonprofit research and policy group. We work on a variety of issues related to the environment and equity in the economy. Much of what we do is water, but not everything. And I really think a key from our point of view is first understanding the science and the resource itself, and then understanding the politics and the economics, and connecting all of those things ultimately in what we hope will be a much more sustainable way of thinking about and managing and planning our water resources. All of our publications are available online for free. If people are interested in water, which I know everybody is to some degree,
we should be.
Feel free to visit our website.
Try going one day without it, right? You'll get interested quickly.
Exactly.
Do you focus much on what's happening with our oceans?
No, fresh water mostly, although, of course, there are strong connections between fresh water and the oceans. All of our fresh water eventually runs to the oceans, and the origin of our fresh water comes from evaporation off the oceans. So it's hard to keep those separate.
And is our nation in the forefront of looking at the problems and coming up with solutions, or are some European nations perhaps ahead of us in dealing with some of the issues you talked about, especially in relation to climate change?
Well, there are lots of wonderful, smart people all around the world working on water issues. There's some great things happening in the U.S. There's some very innovative things happening here. But there's some very innovative things happening elsewhere that we probably ought to pay more attention to. There are places around the world that are even more water scarce than some of our water scarce areas in the western U.S. Mm. And it's useful, I think, to look at traditional solutions, to look at new technologies that are coming out from all different parts of society all around the world. I think truly addressing global water problems will require a global perspective, will require looking across borders and across cultures to effective, sustainable management and use.
Dr. Peter Glick of the Pacific Institute will put a link up on our site, which is ecotalk.net. We'll be back right after these messages.